Two men have now been charged with murder stemming from last week's shooting after the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl parade. Jackson County Prosecutor Gene Peters Baker says the men were in an argument and pulled out guns.
Mays pulled his handgun first, almost immediately. Others pulled their firearms. Defendant Miller was one of those individuals.
Heavy rain and flooding for a second straight day in Southern California. This woman lives in Long Beach.
The water will flow over the berm and people have sandbagged along Seaside Walk.
Sunshine is forecast to return tomorrow. The U.S. has vetoed a U.N. Security Council resolution demanding an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. Linda Thomas-Greenfield says it's the third time for the bloc.
Proceeding with a vote today was wishful and irresponsible.
The U.S. has a rival draft it's submitting. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacy Lynn.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Supporters of Wisconsin's new legislative boundaries say people can expect a more responsive state government. Governor Evers says tighter majorities will spur lawmakers to find middle ground on issues like Medicaid expansion.
I have to believe there is at least one Republican in the House or the Senate that agrees with us on that. And hope, you know, then maybe we could find a solution.
Evers signed the new maps into law yesterday. Today is spring primary day. Voters will narrow down races for local offices like school board, county board, and city council. There's a three-way primary for Milwaukee mayor. The polls are open until 8 tonight. We'll have election updates on many Civic Media stations. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Polls are open until 8. We'll have election results on the air tonight, with numbers also getting updated at waukradio.com. You can check to see if you have a ballot and what's on it at myvote.wi.gov. In Milwaukee and Kenosha, the mayor's race is on the ballot. There are 9 names for City of Kenosha voters and 3 in Milwaukee. The top 2 finishers in the primaries will advance to the April election. A trial date in April has been set for the former Oak Creek teacher accused of sexually assaulting a student. Rachel Goodall appeared in court yesterday. The trial is scheduled to start April 22nd, with Goodall facing charges including assault of a student by school staff. Police say surveillance footage from the school showed Goodall and the student entering her classroom after school hours. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
Now. We tend not to think about now. We dream about tomorrow, relive yesterday. But right now in front of us is victory over cancer. Right now, cancer research funded by the V Foundation is leading to better treatments and saving lives. Victory over cancer is there for the taking by you, because today's cancer research is tomorrow's victory. Learn more at V.org.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
The Badgers fall in the rankings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After losing on the road to Iowa, the Wisconsin Badgers men's basketball team has dropped out of the top 25 listing. Wisconsin has lost 5 of their last 6 games. They host Maryland at the Kohl Center. Marquette falls to the number 7th ranked team in the nation after losing by 28 to the number 1 ranked UConn Huskies. The Golden Eagles host DePaul tomorrow night. Baseball, reaction to the Brewers signing pitcher Brandon Woodruff to a new 2-year deal while he recovers this year from surgery to repair his shoulder, Brewers outfielder Christian Yelich.
Yeah, he's a great teammate. Everybody loves having Woody around, and it's just going to be big to have him around this year, you know, whatever capacity, whether, you know, the pitches or not, who knows. But just to have him around and then hopefully have him again next year ready to go will be huge for us. And love playing with him. You know, there's nobody else I'd rather have the ball on the mound than Woody. You know, he's proved it over and over again in big games. And great competitor, great teammate, so it's really nice to have him back.
That's the Brewers' Christian Yelich. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. For tonight, a low in the low 30s with a partly cloudy sky. Mostly sunny and even warmer tomorrow, high to the mid-50s. And around 50 degrees with some early clouds Thursday, then sun for the afternoon. Cooling to the upper 30s, but mostly sunny for Friday. Currently 51 degrees.
Matt Nair on air.
Hovde, Eric Hovde now. He will be running against Tammy Baldwin.
He's not a Wisconsinite. He threw his hat in the ring from California. This is Tim Michaels all over again. Businessman who walks in and goes, well, I can take care of this. And Wisconsin says, no. Good to know you. Here's some Kringle. Go back home.
Is that how we politely blow people off now? Is to take a Kringle and go away.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Tuesday night, boy, this feels, you know, comfortable, Johnny. We've done this night for so long, I mean, years.
It's a familiar slot.
Just yeah, this is a familiar earlier, slot. But... You know, a little bit earlier. In fact, yeah, it is Busted Pencils. And if you're saying, wow, they're on earlier, we are on every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and 6 o'clock their central time. And then you can make the adjustments if you're somewhere else, you know, somewhere like we always say, if you're in Finland, make the adjustment. No, actually better than make the adjustment, Johnny, download the Civic Media app. Yep. Because with the Civic Media app, you can be anywhere. Just click on that app, go to the Google Play, iTunes or Apple Store, and bam, you're listening to Busted Pencils. You're listening to Civic Media. No matter where you're at, you can do it. Civic Media app is there. And yes, Johnny and Tim and Anya, producer Anya, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Busted Pencils, busting tons of pencils. Johnny, thank you last night, my friend.
But you know, we had great guests and we had a wonderful conversation around exciting things happening, not only in Wisconsin, better understanding of how this privatization of education started, where it came from, how we as folks, not necessarily experts. I mean, well, Tim, you and I have studied the privatization mm-hmm. of education, but just listening and discussing it every day with our neighbor, how mm-hmm. we can help share some of those stories of how this came to be and what's like sort of like vouchers 101 with the former dean from the UW there.
Yeah.
Dr. Underwood was awesome.
She's, you know, one of the experts in that field. I mean, you know, the thing too, did you guys talk about, I mean, you know, she's a lawyer on top of being an education faculty. She's a lawyer, man. She knows what's going on, Dr. Underwood.
She did talk about having to sue people. So that probably was implied in there.
And then Heather Dubois, Bernane from the Wisconsin, well, both of them actually from the Wisconsin Public Education Network. We wanted to get them on. I'm going to be doing a lot more shows with the Wisconsin Public Education Network. In fact, they said, hey, we got lots of guests we want to send Busted Pencils way. We went, okay, hey, we're good. We love guests. You know, in fact, you can always be a guest on the show, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can be a guest just by giving us a call. All right, Johnny, on Friday though, I'm gonna combine two topics here.
Okay.
Right? I'm gonna bring this together. Friday, we spent a lot of time on AI. We barely mentioned though the fact that right now, statistically, in the time that we, you know, are living, 2/3 of teachers are reporting nationally that they are stifling what they teach based on the current conditions in the classroom. In other words, they're fearful of offending or upsetting somebody. And so because of, and we say, you know, whether it's critical race theory, but there have been multiple states that have tried to outlaw teaching certain topics. And it's working in the sense that teachers are doing it without even regards to the law. They're stifling themselves. And we're going to talk about that and another issue. But, man, we got our friend Steven from Green Bay, man. We got to catch him before he goes to bed. We know Steven likes to go to bed at 7 o'clock. Steven from Green Bay, what's happening, our friend?
Good morning, guys. Let me fill you in the reason why I go to bed at 7 o'clock. I'm actually a DoorDash slash Uber driver, and so I'm on the road at 7:30 every morning delivering people their breakfast. So that's why I go to bed when I go to bed.
I appreciate that you can get to bed at 7 o'clock. I should do that more often.
With that being said, I do have a couple things to say. First of all,
okay.
The first thing I want to say is, you guys rock. Your show rocks. Thank you for bringing it to Civic Media. I hear about politics all day, but we do need a show that talks about education. It's important. It's something that is largely overlooked in this country, and that is why foreign countries are beating us in education. Our kids are not being educated the way they should be. And with that, I'm going to segue into my second point. Part of the problem is politicians getting into the classroom and censoring things like you briefly alluded to. It is dangerous. If you look at history, history will tell you that not educating our kids is probably the worst thing, not only for our children, but for us as a society as a whole. And we really, really need to, as adults and stewards of our children, step into the plate and really make sure they're getting the education that they deserve.
Steven, I love that referral to stewards of our children, stewards of our education, public education. Appreciate what you're saying. Thanks for the shout out, though. Yeah, man, spread the word. But we are trying to bring education and recognizing, as Johnny and I say, your neighbor wants to know about education. They sometimes maybe just think, I don't want to talk about lesson plans. It's like, no, we're talking about the heart of democracy here. The idea that public schools are the foundation upon which society can become great if we do these things. And Stephen, you say, are we giving our students, are we providing children the education they deserve? And I love that from Alfie Cohn. That's a quote from Alfie Cohn. The education, the schools they deserve. That's what we're going to continue to do on Busted Pencils. Johnny, what do you say to Stephen?
I mean, Stephen, thanks for calling. Thanks for, you know, saying kind words about the show. Tim and I are so lucky to be able to share this hour every day with listeners and with folks like yourself, Stephen, who want to have that conversation. And in fact, point out that it's a conversation we can't all have. Yeah, Tim and I are experts on some of the things we're here talking about. We're really taking it deep sometimes, but it boils down to exactly what you said. And Tim, you amplified that as
he's got a stumble there. I think we might have lost Johnny there for a second on a little glitch. Is he back there on you?
Whoa, did we lose him?
There you are, man. You're back.
Oh, my gosh. Talk about public education. I'm at my public institution right now in my classroom with the studio set up and bad internet connection. I'll have to look into that and apologize for that glitch. I was just thanking Steven from Green Bay for calling and for being a listener and for saying those important things that as – for all of us talking about education, concerned with education, or educators ourselves, it's important that we're centering around not only what children deserve, but have a right to. I think when we get into the conversation.
Look at that little glitchy Johnny. We'll keep working on it, though. I know where you're going with this. You say rights. And I love the framing right there, too, of going, it's not just deserve, it's a child's right. It's the community's right to a public education. And realizing that, that is that kind of solidness that we put on there to make sure that the foundation of democracy, public education, is, and think about that, it's a right. Johnny, the way you framed that, man, I love this. You know, yes, it's deserved, but more importantly, it's a right that are there. You maybe got a little bit of a internet issue there, Johnny. Well, you know, we'll get through it, man. 844 967-278-9844-967-278-9. If you're like Steven and you want to give us a call and, you know, talk about how awesome the show is, we'll let you. We don't care. We'll let you ramble on. We appreciate the kudos and whatever things you want to say. But Johnny, okay, so here's the right. Teachers are not teaching things because of being worried that somebody's going to be offended. And in the fact, you know, the past year and a half, we've seen more states try to and in fact enact laws that forbid teachers from teaching some places called controversial topics. Some people are just saying all the way down to true history. The reality, though, of any of these things actually getting to legalities and lawsuits really hasn't happened. But we said when this came out that the intent was never to actually pursue people legally. It's just putting it out there because this creates the chilling effect. The fact that teachers go out and censor themselves willingly because of fear of what might happen. On that issue, though, headline, Wisconsin Examiner. UW, that's University of Wisconsin schools, benefit financially from thousands of acres of formal tribal land. Quote, during the fall 2023 semester, there were fewer than 700 Native Americans enrolled at the University of Wisconsin schools, or about 0.4% of the total student population. In the 2023 fiscal year, through a land trust managed by the state's Board of Commissioners of Public Lands, the universities of Wisconsin received more than $1 million earned by the lands that had been taken from the state's tribes during the 19th century. The UW system is one of 52 land-grant universities that was supported by the Morrill Act, signed into law by President Abraham Lincoln. The act used land taken from indigenous tribes to fund the creation of public universities. My question, Johnny, we're going to talk about this. Hey, that's a fact. Wisconsin teachers, are you teaching about the University of Wisconsin taking or benefiting? They say benefiting. Maybe some people say profiting. Profiting from stolen tribal lands. Would that create a content that some people would say, I'm not going there, man. I'm not teaching that. However, Johnny, it's not like I just made it up. It's coming out of the Wisconsin Examiner. It's right there. It is fact. University of Wisconsin, and not just the University of Wisconsin, the public schools from the Morrill Act, President Abraham Lincoln, the beneficiaries of that. How do we go to a public institution and acknowledge, we put out a land acknowledgement statement, but is that enough? Should we be doing more? And if you're a UW student, do you know this history? Do you understand what's going on? Did you realize that there's a financial benefit from stolen lands? Johnny, I'm going to use the word stolen lands. It says, you know, part of the way we put this language as we call it former or used to be all that. No, stolen lands. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. We are going to be asking that question. Should we be talking about stolen lands? Should we be teaching about stolen lands? More Busted Pencils when we get back.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Less calories and fat, and oh so delicious. It's what every light bread wants to be. Leave it to the bakers of Village Hearth to have the perfect recipes that pack goodness and flavor into every package while still keeping it trim. With Village Hearth light bread and buns, you can lighten up on the calories and fat without losing out on the great taste. There's simply more to savor and nothing to sacrifice. With our light wheat, light 12 grain, and light Italian bread and buns, there's a light, tasty favorite for everyone in the family. Village Hearth, baking our best for you.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Shaw, 101.1 FM and 540 AM WAUK, and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Open up.
That's what we do. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We give it all. Busted Pencils. Fully Leaded Education Talk. The number 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Stephen from Green Bay, thank you for the kudos and the call. Johnny, so yeah. There it is. Facts, man.
I mean, yeah, you're bringing it up. And the two things you brought up tonight, two topics kind of in the news about education right now that you brought up are so related.
Right.
Right. You started us off.
I thought they were.
Two-thirds of the teachers expressing that they feel like they really can't teach about things political. Well, We always kind of make the joke. It's not really a joke. Everything's political. Right. It's either for the kings or the queens or for the serfs on the other side of the wall. It's all political. So everything we teach is political, whether it's the influence that the curriculum has or the kinds of particular ways that we're teaching.
It does that all the time. You know, we look at this. I'm Johnny Lupinacci. We'll get you back. I'll see you in a second here. There you are, man. You're there.
Man, frustrated with the internet connections. It seems like anytime I get talking, the bandwidth somehow gets reduced. I'm going to figure it out.
Somebody's censoring Johnny Lupinacci.
Right? Let's get caller Joanne.
There's Joanne. There we go. Caller Joanne. Joanne, what's happening, Joanne?
Right. I love the topics that you brought up and the juxtaposition of the topics. I'll throw in a third. It's the one that relates the names of the sports teams that we have and some of the names of the buildings that often are reflecting Native American themes, but not in the full way we would like. I mean, we just celebrated the Chiefs, okay? Mm-hmm. I know there are many Chiefs that are, you know, the teams that are named Chiefs that are out there in high schools, in grammar schools, and all of that. And we need to recognize in the deepest and the most authentic ways the kind of legacy that we're given by the Native Americans in our midst and in our history. And what we're dealing with is that fear. You know, how far can people go in the classrooms deviating a little bit from standard curriculum to get into some of these issues and explore them? And how will students relate to those issues, knowing that on their Sunday Super Bowl day they were using the tomahawk chop to celebrate the Chiefs? So lots of issues out there. Thank you for bringing them up.
Thank you for calling, Joanne. We appreciate it. The number is 844-967-2789. Oh, yeah, you know, the tribal names. But, Johnny, here we're talking about, do we teach about it? And for Wisconsin listeners specifically, the reality is, and I'm going to throw this out there so just so people realize this, it is constitutionally mandated that Indigenous knowledge, Indigenous history be taught in the K-12 curriculum. It is mandated that the history of the Indigenous peoples of Wisconsin make up the curriculum in K-12. So that's why I bring back this story that comes out of the Wisconsin Examiner about the profiting from former or stolen tribal land. And in fact, I want to put this out there, a little bit more info. Quote, data obtained through the land grab university investigation conducted by GRIST, they're an independent nonprofit media organization, shows that much of what remains of the normal school trust land is tribal land taken mostly from the Ojibwe people. The extraction of timber from more than 68,000 acres of land originally held by tribal nations spread across the upper Midwest, for which the federal government paid just $107,000 adjusted for inflation, now contributes $1 million a year to the University of Wisconsin. That's the facts, man. And the other fact is, in the state of Wisconsin, the history of the indigenous peoples is required to be taught. I'm wondering out there, though, finding out that two-thirds of teachers nationally are censoring themselves for fear. What is happening in Wisconsin? Teachers, if you're out there and you know about this, what are we doing? And anybody has more information on the University of Wisconsin's benefiting, we'll use the word benefiting. John, you know, the Morrow Act, we think about this, you know, how many other institutions, because it's not just University of Wisconsin, you know, how many institutions benefited from the land grab or stealing land from indigenous tribes? And now you are potentially a student on that campus benefiting. And I think we've had the history of you know, land acknowledgments where people are saying, you know, we recognize that this is the indigenous lands, that, you know, they put out a statement. It doesn't do anything, but it's nice, I guess, to do it. But to realize now that you're not only benefiting like that, but the university system is still gathering income, money from stolen lands. How do we teach about that, dude?
Well, I mean, I think you just gave a great introduction to how we teach about it. First, we have to explain that it's happening. We have to admit that that's actually part of, you know, the state's history, and that's part of what's happening here, and, you know, and acknowledge that history and that right to, you know, indigenous knowledge being part of the education system in these places where, I mean, the terms we're using are kind of sometimes a little bit tricky to get around. I mean, we call it, you know, the land now known as Wisconsin, you know, like this or wherever we're at. Like if you're on North America and referring to a state, that's something that came much after there were already, you know, indigenous communities and knowledge systems that go way back. I know out here in the Northwest, we often refer to it as since time immemorial and talk about, you know, ways that educators together can teach with indigenous knowledge systems, not about it, not in place of it, not in competition with, but with, like, together, the ways they complement things and provide, you know, multiple perspectives on not only history, but on how we understand our relationships, like our social studies understandings, our science understandings. And I think more and more, like you referenced that mandate, that legally in a lot of places, this is something that we're not, you know, encouraged to teach, that we're required to teach. And here's the thing, Tim, you don't have to be an expert on the content to be a co-learner with your students about this. And that's the really exciting thing. So, you know, first, like you said, acknowledge it, learn about what's happening, do some understanding of what is the history of the places where we're teaching, back that history way up, but then also be a co-learner with students, right? And there's a lot of ways that we can do that. So maybe we can dive into some of that. But I think that's a big thing, Tim. That's kind of what I'm reminded of when I'm hearing these things today.
Thinking about that, you know, and they make very specifically and the Ojibwe. And actually, too, civic media is up in Hayward, Wisconsin. Ojibwe Nation up there. Hey, if you're listening, give us a call, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. University of Wisconsin schools benefit financially from thousands of acres of former tribal land. What do we do about that? Well, we absolutely teach about it because it's required, it's history, it's the truth. What else can we do when we get back?
Hey, everybody. It's Todd Allball. Noon till 3 on Wednesday. We are downtown Hayward, Wisconsin for the 50th Annual American Birkenbeiner on Civic Media.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The executive director of the Wisconsin Republican Party is stepping down next month. Mark Jefferson has been on the job for 5 years. This was his second go-around in the post. Jefferson says he'll announce his next move in a few days. Jefferson's a longtime operative who served in several different roles for Republicans over the years. Critics say Wisconsin's new legislative boundaries have problems. Republican Senator Howard Markline from Spring Green tells Civic Media's Phil Nee that one new Senate district stretches from Richland Center to Madison.
You think about the issues in the city of Madison versus city of Richland Center. I mean, it's just two different worlds.
Markline says he doesn't expect Republicans to sue to delay the implementation of the new maps. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Court records show a preliminary hearing was waived today for the alleged gunman in the double homicide at an Elkhorn bar. A motion to appear tomorrow is listed online as the next step for 57-year-old Thomas Rout. Police say Rout admitted to shooting and killing the newly married couple, Gina and Emerson Weingart, shooting at a witness, and taking about $140 from a cash register. Rout was a convicted felon and prohibited from possessing a weapon. Wauwatosa will not host 4th of July fireworks this year. City leaders say it's due to concerns about the strain on police officers and firefighters. Instead, city officials say they plan to integrate the fireworks into the Tosa Night Out event August 7th. Polls are open until 8. We'll have results on the air when they're available this evening. Listen live or check for updates at waukradio.com. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WAUK News.
Join me, Lou Regani, as we explore the history of Racine, Kenosha, and Wisconsin. For over 30 years, I've told the story of our community, and now I'm excited to be part of Civic Media to continue this journey. So won't you listen in and even be part of the discussion? Tune your radio to 1400 AM or 99.9 FM and 98.1 FM. You can always stream the show live by downloading the Civic Media app.
The Lou Regani Show, Sundays 7 till noon on WRJN.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Pop and R&B star Usher revealed last week that he beat out Justin Timberlake in a bidding war to sign Justin Bieber in 2008. The New York Post reports that Usher says he knew Bieber was going to be a big star. Timberlake later revealed that he was actually relieved it didn't work out because he thought Justin Bieber was Miley Cyrus. Seriously, they could be twins. HBO host John Oliver made Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas an offer he will probably refuse. The Huffington Post reports that the host of Last Week Tonight offered Thomas $1 million a year and a $2.5 million luxury coach if he leaves the Supreme Court. The justice has a reputation of accepting lavish gifts from wealthy donors without reporting them. Oliver says Thomas has 30 days to accept his offer. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. For tonight, a low in the low 30s with a partly cloudy sky. Mostly sunny and even warmer tomorrow, high to the mid-50s. And around 50 degrees with some early clouds Thursday, then sun for the afternoon. Cooling to the upper 30s, but mostly sunny for Friday. Currently 51 degrees.
Today, young adults face big questions about their future. How will you make your mark? Do you want to be part of something bigger than yourself? Are you ready to learn new skills and make new friendships? Perhaps you have a dream that you're ready to make real. So, how will you make a mark with your future? As you embark on a journey toward finding these answers, the military can serve as a resource for providing help, information, and opportunities. A public service message from the Department of Defense. To learn more, visit todaysmilitary.com.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Oh, man. If you have your fire out there, stay warm. 844-967-2789. Johnny Lupinacci's in studio. He's warm. It's 100-plus degrees, he said. Ah, man. Hey, University of Wisconsin, actually all land-grant institutions in this country benefiting financially from indigenous lands. Putting out there, though, teachers right now in this time and era, two-thirds of them are saying they're kind of cautious about what they teach. Well, the reality is that colleges, public education, schools that are out there are benefiting financially. Should we be teaching about that? We have a new caller, Johnny. Martha. Martha from Madison is calling. Martha, what's happening?
Hi there. I actually had to call because I'm a first grade teacher here in Madison, and I have been taking Indigenous Studies courses free through DPI. Yes.
Okay.
And I just got out of a history class today.
Awesome.
And I got into the car, and that's what you were talking about. So I just, I don't know. It's so
we're excited
to
call.
We're excited you called.
That history.
So are you thinking that? Go ahead, Martha. You talk.
No, I was just going to say, I think it's so important to be teaching all of that history. The course I'm taking right now is called the Rediscovery of America, Native Peoples, and the Unmaking of U.S. History. And it's like mind-blowing how different the history that I was taught in school mm-hmm. is from like the actual story of what happened. And so then now the job becomes now taking what I'm learning now and like you were saying, learning alongside students and disseminating the information that I'm now learning to the next generation of children that I'm teaching.
It sounds too like you're excited about doing that work, unlike two-thirds of other teachers in America that are. Go ahead, Johnny.
Well, Tim, I mean, I'm stoked, Martha. Thanks for taking that class. Thanks for being exactly what all of us as educators want to be all the time, right? Is providing our students with the best information we can with a good education. And sometimes for a lot of us, I will make a blanket statement here. Not all of us. You might be an indigenous educator out there. So this is stuff you have expert knowledge on. But for a lot of us, we don't have that knowledge. So these classes like Martha's participating in are so important because they help us be co-learners with our students. And that models that just because we learned something didn't mean it was the only way of knowing. It also doesn't mean that there is a one best way of knowing, but that we're learning from multiple perspectives. And in this case, we're better understanding the history of the place that we are, all of our histories together. And that's going to help us all do better moving forward. So thanks, Martha, for doing that work. It's not easy work. It's work that requires humility from teachers. I'm not saying to be humiliated, but humility.
Humility, say, man. Right. Yeah.
Hey, I don't know this. I'm not an expert on it, but hey, students, whatever age you are and myself, co-teachers, we got to learn this because together we can do different. So thanks for doing that work. But Tim, I think you're being hard on two-thirds of the teachers because I don't think they don't want to do it. A lot of teachers I know who call me or talk to me during the day or that I'm working with say express a similar sentiment. They're uncertain. They feel like they can't, they hold back. And that's not because they don't want to, it's because they feel like they're not necessarily well prepared or that they're gonna have a big political blow up connected back to their classroom. Mm-hmm. And that's by design. So I'll say like two-thirds of the teachers, let's not pick on them too much.
I'm not picking on.
There's some out there who don't want to do it, but then there's some who are just like, whoa, this is really like about to blow up in my classroom or my school, or I feel like it might, and I don't want to be the next school board issue, right? And so we got to really think about these as best practices. It starts when states like Wisconsin say, hey, it's required.
I was going to say it's required, and you heard Martha say that too. DPI, the Department of Public Instruction in Wisconsin, she's taking the workshops, the history courses from that. You saw Papa Rico there coming in on the live feed, though, saying like he was well into my 30s before I heard about the Trail of Tears. You know, that's the other thing. It's like, how is that possible today that people would go, Greg from Waukesha. Greg's on the line. What's happening, Greg?
Hello. So I'm in an organization right now. I'm not going to say which one, but my point is we need to reteach ourselves and rediscover history, because a lot of fruitless controversies could take place if we just knew history and knew it well. So I'm in an organization right now. We are having our conference and convention in Florida, which I know is our first mistake. But our second thing is there was a trip scheduled to a plantation, to a slave plantation, and a bunch of people on a bunch of email lists and social media platforms are all up in arms. You know, we can't do this. And I agree with them. I side with them because of what I've rediscovered about history. But see, I wasn't taught anything, you know, like this until I was woke, so to speak, until I experienced a level of wokeness. And I know, and now I'm contributing to the discussion and saying, hey, you know, this is wrong. Let's not do this tour, because it can trigger different, you know.
All of these things. I mean, Greg, I appreciate your call, you know, coming out this from that point of view. But Tony, we hear it now at rediscovering history, right? Papa Rico said that too. And how many people out there have, you know, read Howard Zinn and went, I didn't know, right? You know, I didn't know that. I remember teaching, you know, the discovery of the Arawaks, right? And in Columbus, and people going like, wait, how did that happen? You know, and everybody, people in their 30s, people in their 50s, saying, I didn't know. How much history do we not know? I know I might be being a little tough on, quote, two-thirds of the teachers, but it is out there to say, I'm not really being as tough on the teachers. I'm concerned with the fact that a policy movement that has happened in the last 2 years is stifling what is, in Wisconsin, mandated history that we teach about the indigenous peoples of Wisconsin. And then I threw out a topic here, though, Johnny, and I want to kind of bring us back into it. University of Wisconsin schools are profiting, making about $1 million a year from tribal lands. The question that I wanted to put out there is going, and what's happening with that money? What should they do with that money? Should that money, now that it's been acknowledged that it's really being given to, or you know, however it's yielded there from former stolen tribal lands, what's the money being used for? Couldn't we teach about wondering where the financial resources that are benefiting Wisconsin, the university system, how are those monies being spent? One suggestion would be, well, what about scholarships then for indigenous Native Americans in Wisconsin? Well, somebody's going to say, guess what? There is a tribal educational promise, a new program to cover the cost for undergraduate law and medical students who are members of Wisconsin's 11 tribes. There's an example, $1 million. $1 million a year, not just once, $1 million a year. Could that money be used as indigenous scholarships? That would be an interesting classroom discussion, how we would have this and bring this forward in there. 844-967-2789. John, I just want to say that there's content here. It's rich. It's and there's something to rediscover here. And you said, you know, love Greg's call, love Martha's call out there. Again, you said first grade teacher getting excited about rediscovering indigenous history, Native American history, ready to go out and teach it. Go ahead, Johnny.
Yeah, and Tim, and I'll say, like, the rediscovering part, you know, sometimes just the language of it is a little bit troubling. I'd like to pose it's more reconciling.
Okay.
Like nice. Understanding multiple views and with the humility that some of the stuff we learned just left out really important things or kind of portrayed history in a sense that erased or didn't acknowledge that there was genocide or taking of land happening, mm-hmm. right? And taking of land as part of that genocide. And so as we're reconciling history, as we're saying, we're looking at it and saying, we didn't get the whole story or there's missing pieces, right? That's important because I don't want to really put out there like that we are discovering something new. It kind of has this colonial
ring
to it, right? And so, I mean, I'm just being a little picky about it, but there's really awesome stuff that Indigenous educators and experts on Indigenous knowledges have created and are welcoming teachers, non-Indigenous teachers, to assume co-responsibility of this work together. And it's really awesome work, and we can get to it, Tim. I think we're coming up on break.
Oh, I just want to tell you this, though, too. Recognizing the reality, too, as I said, civic media now all over Wisconsin, up in the, you know, upper northwestern area, Hayward, large Ojibwe reservation, did a lot of work up there. Waduka Dotting language, Ojibwe language immersion school, fully in Ojibwe language, teaching to the students out there, sat there for many class settings to watch this. You say, you know, really like teaching in the native language and then sharing those experiences. Now that was the Waduka Dotting is the tribal school that sits on the Ojibwe, but an amazing thing. And I've always said how we need to know even more about that. But I, you know, this thing here, though, on the monetary standpoint, it's like, what do you do with it now that it's out there? There's a $1 million that is, you know, coming into the University of Wisconsin. I'm not making any points of saying it's being used incorrectly or anything like that. It's just recognizing that from this Wisconsin Examiner article that there's $1 million that can be easily traced back to profits from tribal lands that were, you know, not purchased, not negotiated, but stolen.
Well, yeah, Tim, and it seems like a simple, like there's complicated ways to figure out where all that money goes, but then it boils down to a simple thing, and I'm going to come back to that term, reconciling. Mm-hmm. We acknowledge the injustice in that history, and there it is, it's acknowledged, and we create a memo of partnership in terms of we're saying, hey, this happened. We're going to teach about it. We're not going to ignore it, but instead we're going to stress the resiliency of Native cultures and Native peoples. And despite the intentional oppression and neglect, we're going to work to make this a space that recognizes and values a co-responsibility for change and honors those Native cultures. And so it's a no-brainer. It just becomes part of the work. There's money to do it, and it gets, without even worrying about it, allocated towards doing that work.
And here I'm, you know, I point out Waduka Dotting up in Hayward, just to point this out, as saying, you know, so there is a school, as you said, John, revitalizing, rejuvenating, bringing back the native language to the young children, the Ojibwe there, bringing back their culture, taking it and saying, you know, this is ours. Hey, how are we, besides saying that's great, that's good that they're doing, how do we make sure that they have the ability to continue that type of teaching and learning on the reservation up there? How do we make sure that, hey, sounds to me like there might be a little bit of money here that could be potentially used to support more education? I like the idea of scholarships for Native students, but what about more actively putting that money back into more education, such as what can be happening on reservations through the rediscovery, the claiming of Native language, of Native knowledge, Indigenous language, putting that back, restoring what was stolen, lost, and almost forgotten. That's what we're doing here. Busted Pencils, fully led at Education Talk, 844-967-2789. Give us a call when we get back.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
2024 is a leap year. It may just mean an extra day to some, but here's Bob Bonadur with the Milwaukee Public Museum's Planetarium.
We orbit the sun in 365.25 days, meaning we have leap day February 29th every 4 years.
So our orbit around the sun isn't a perfect number of days. Bonadur says this was figured out for the first time 2,000 years ago.
I think of Julius Caesar back 2,000 years ago was the first calendar to have a leap day because our orbit is actually a little less than 365.25, it's 365.2422. The calendar got out of whack by 11 days, 1582. So imagine living 1582, October 4th, the next day was October 15th.
A new calendar created in the 1700s moved the leap day to February. Until next time, I'm Terry Ball.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Man, love that heavy guitar. Seven Dust, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. The number 844-967-2789. Indigenous knowledge, indigenous culture, indigenous language. University of Wisconsin benefiting financially off of lands that used to belong to the tribes, the native tribes, the native indigenous peoples of Wisconsin. We were first asking the question, should we be teaching about that? We heard from Martha in Madison, first grade teacher, really excited about the fact that she is in Department of Public Instruction in Wisconsin, courses that are out there helping teachers get that knowledge so that they can go out there, Johnny, as you said, be co-learners with their students about this information. Excited about that, you know? And in fact, yeah, it's like here we are thinking about this indigenous language, indigenous cultures. And I brought up the school up in Hayward, Waduka Dotting, which is an Ojibwe language immersion culture school that is up there doing incredible great work. And in fact, to just remind people, at 9 o'clock, 9 p.m., 9 to 10 on weekdays, Native News, it's called Native Roots Radio, too. You can always hear that on Civic Media. In fact, you know, I'm pretty sure that comes right out of Minnesota from up in that same way. And The hosts, but Johnny, you were making, you know, again, to be factually accurate, right? Ojibwe is not the nation. It's Ojibwe language and culture, Anishinaabe people. And again, here we are. We need to know more.
And Tim, it's exactly part of it. It's just expressing that humility that we often don't, we haven't learned the right things, and it's okay to be a learner. It's important to commit to that and say, hey, there are diverse native cultures that, you know, make up the area, especially if we take a region like, say, Wisconsin, Minnesota, the Great Lakes region, right? There are diverse native cultures. There are wonderful resources. One that I recommend is called Native Lands. It's an app. You can look it up. You can get it Google. You can get it Apple. And it's like a GPS locator. You just kind of, it reads where you're at, or you can kind of go anywhere in the world, and it will layer on the native cultures, native peoples of that land. It sometimes overlaps because it's shared, right? But it will also identify the languages, the territories, the treaties, so you can be a learner, right? Any of us can download this app, and you know, wherever we are, you know, we can educate ourselves on who are the native peoples of this land, right? Sometimes we call them like First Nations people, right? The original custodial humans of the places, like native cultures. Right. And I love that, you know, you mentioned it, but one of the best ways for teachers out there listening, take the kinds of classes Martha's taken, reach out and ask questions or where resources to help assume co-responsibility for change, especially around teaching about indigenous knowledge systems in the places we are at. But also just show up and be a learner. Tune in 9 p.m. There's a program, right? Native Roots Radio. Be a listener. Learn what's happening in Native communities from Native people who are sharing Native culture. This is an important step. Educators out there, it's just showing up, right? And realizing that we're reconciling our history so that we can be better teachers. And here's the great part, Tim. You talked about the two-thirds of the teachers who are worried about this. If you're teaching in the state of Washington, or the state of Wisconsin, both of our states, Tim, that we're talking about here, have this as legislative support.
Mm-hmm.
We are mandated to be assuming co-responsibility for this kind of change that indigenizes the curriculum, that brings indigenous knowledge systems into our schools and classrooms in a respectful and honoring the resiliency of Native cultures.
You know, and putting that too, we're going back into our kind of different changing topics here. You know, the main topic here I put out there was, is, you know, we've got this fact now that the University of Wisconsin is benefiting financially from Native Indigenous people's lands. Should we teach about that? Well, we've now moved into going, well, there's all kinds of indigenous knowledges, indigenous history that we should be teaching. This point here alone, though, coming up and going, what about the money? And I made a comment saying that, you know, one of the potential indicators was either through scholarships for Native students in the state of Wisconsin to be able to go to the University of Wisconsin. And then the potential, though, recognizing that there are tribal lands all over Wisconsin that are probably in some way, shape, or form, like the Waduka Dotting School, the Ojibwe Language Immersion School, that are doing that great work, that are doing more than just educating us. They're reclaiming that language and that culture. It's still there, you say, and it's diverse. It's diverse all over. But how can this financial standpoint, I'll put this out there as a question, why can't that money be used to support more indigenous education, more indigenous culture directly? That's where I'm wondering.
But Tim, I'm going to throw a word out there that I don't want to misuse, and I don't want to just slap it on this conversation, because I think it's a complicated but important effort. Are you almost hinting at that there should be some decolonizing, some decolonial efforts here in this? But I'll get there, and we can have some of our indigenous expert educators come on and talk about this work, because
absolutely,
it's really important work that they're doing that we hear from them. But one of the things I'll come back to is when you say, should we be teaching about it? Absolutely, right? We teach with multiple perspectives. I think if you care about this, and you ought to, that you focus on the tribal groups and the Native cultures closest to your school first.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we're learning about local Native cultures. And then another really important aspect, and I'll just lay it out as a matter of fact, good teaching deals with real life, sometimes controversial issues, right? And so what you're bringing up, Tim, should we teach about the fact that land grant institutions make a lot of money off of stolen land? Absolutely, but let's do it responsibly and deal with real life, sometimes controversial issues. Dare I invite it, should we be decolonizing? Because that's a whole nother conversation, right? That's when we talk about scholarships and things like that, are we inviting people to the traditional Western form of education? Are we making space to value Native cultures and Native indigenous knowledge systems?
Well, you say one of the I did all that work up there too. They very much was about getting an indigenous teaching license, not a license that was supposed to just be Western. Busted Pencils, fully leaded. Back after the break.
No. We're done for the night.
See you tomorrow. See you tomorrow. See you tomorrow. Yeah.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Todd Allbutt Show.
You look at Taylor Swift. She fought off the bitterness of defeat when she lost her records, when she was kind of duped by a manager. People who told her she'd never amount to anything. But it doesn't matter if you like her music or not. I'm a fan of anyone. Doesn't matter whether they're an artist or an athlete or just a common Jane or Joe. If you've overcome something in your life, you're a winner. If you've made it through, that's what it's all about.
The Todd Allbutt Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Stacy Lynn.